Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to this week's edition of Joy's very own show about pets. Thank you to Leo for providing the soundtrack to our morning, and a big thank you to Chris Jamison for the news. My name is Kevin. I am back this week. And joining me in the studio today is Kate and Alan. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So today we're getting our geek on and looking at the latest in pet technology. It's a huge industry with a plethora of products, and some have proved to be incredibly innovative and useful, and some have been a little bit on the strange, quirky, and useless side. Now, Alan and Kate, tell me, what kind of pet technology can you guys not live without?
I've got to admit, I'm not a very technological type person. But one thing that I do use on my dogs is little flashing lights on their collars so that we can walk them in the dark. It's fine in summer, but in winter when you have to walk them when you get home from work and you have to walk them, otherwise they go crazy. And they don't like walking on the lead all the time, so we take them to the park and they've got these little lights on so you can see them twinkle in the distance.
Oh, what about you, Kate?
I'm a bit like Alan. I'm not a really great techno geek type person. I love a history novel and a period drama on television, so I live in the past.
And some antique furniture possibly as well.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Anything retro. But, you know, I must say I'm pretty pleased that microchipping's here, and so, you know, microchips helped reunite me in the past with my dogs, so they're all microchipped. And even just the humble tag and being linked to a database, I think that's a new development that we didn't have before. So, yeah, other than that, that's about as far as... And a doggy door.
A doggy door is a good one. Yeah. But, you know, the simple doggy door has advanced, but we will be talking a bit about that later.
I guess one thing you do, you share photographs of your dogs and cats on Facebook, don't you?
Oh, that's true.
That's much more technological than me.
Yeah, okay.
Alan, do you even have Facebook?
I do. I have a very... little used Facebook page.
Yeah. Speaking of Facebook, do join us on Facebook. You might be able to see our leadership spill that we had yesterday.
That was very clever.
Some big, big dramas going on there with the cuttery. We had Julia Gillard and Kevin Rudd and Simon Crean all trying to vie for a position in your home. But check that out, facebook.com/lostdogshome as well. Alan.
So also coming up on Pets Aloud today, I will be looking at technical innovations which help us look after your pets in the vet clinic.
We're also checking out designs that have really revolutionised pet care and safety, featuring the latest in pet toys and also running through Joy's Technogazer's top 5 innovations for pets. Now, you need to join in the conversation as well, so let us know what you think. What is one innovation, gadget, or piece of technology you and your pet cannot live without?
Pets Aloud. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Don't forget, you can also SMS us on 0427-JOY-949 or give us a call 1300-JOY-949. Now, Alan, what else is coming up on the show today?
After this, we will have our Pet of the Week.
Yep. And at the tail end of the program, Kate?
As always, at the tail end of the program, we'll be checking out up-and-coming events and for your happening and
dog
social
dates.
Dogs and dog dates.
That's right. And, you know, some of them are cat-friendly as well.
There's quite a
generally
few
only
up.
The microchipping, which we want to encourage more cats to get
we
along
do.
To those as
identify
well.
Identify your cats, people.
But we will be introducing our Pet of the Week right after we hear from Stevie Wonder with a little bit of Part-Time Lover. You're on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9. The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to have a look at the news and events from last week. Now, Alan, we had a bit of a story up on our website, dogshome.com, about a special little dog named Heidi.
Yes, Heidi is a lovely little Maltese who arrived at the home on March the 4th this year. She was appallingly neglected with a horribly matted coat. You can see pictures of her online at dogshome.com. Also, she hadn't been treated very well, so emotionally she was quite damaged. So she went through our behavior mod program, and we also sort of got her tidied up, got her coat clipped, and dealt with any infections that were under there. And now she's ready for adoption. So she's a lovely little dog. She's currently looking for a home. And if you'd like to find out more about her, you can call the shelter on 9329 2755, or read the story on dogshome.com.
Now, speaking of adoptions, we had quite a good weekend of adoptions as well. The last weekend, 20 of our fabulous felines went home, and about 18 dogs as well. About 18 dogs went home
exactly
over the weekend.
Exactly
18, which is incredible. That is quite a good weekend, and we don't really know why. It was might have been just the weather or something like that, but we're also offering half-price adoptions on our cats as well, because we do have quite a lot of cats.
That's right. We've been doing quite a bit of promotion about that, so it sort of raised awareness, I think, too, for adoption.
Which is great, because we always want to raise awareness about adoption.
And one interesting thing about those adoptions, 35 were on Saturday and 3 were on Sunday.
Wow.
So if you want to adopt a cat or a dog at the weekend, it might be an idea to wait until Sunday, because then you might...
Bit quieter.
It's quieter and you won't have to hang around so long.
That's right, yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know. That's interesting, isn't it, to see that a lot of people were out on Saturday wanting to come and adopt.
That's right. Like, it gets very busy in that adoption room, doesn't it?
It does.
Lots of people waiting. Yeah.
Now, we do still have plenty of dogs and cats looking for new homes, that you can also check them out on our website, which is dogshome.com. Now, Kate, you travelled a little bit this weekend, didn't you?
I did. I took myself up to Echuca, along with Reggie, the National Pet Register microchipping Winnebago, and the Echuca shelter team. And we were there for the Echuca Moama Celtic Festival dog walk.
Celtic Festival. It's okay. Irish background. It's been drilled into me ever since. And Alan would have.
I'm Irish, yes. Celtic's the football team.
Oh, okay.
Alan would have jumped in on that one very quickly.
I stand corrected. But Celtic, it was a really great event. It was a bit cooler, and it was quite windy, but still we had lots of people, probably 100 dogs and their owners, turn up to come out for the walk. And being St. Patrick's Day and part of the Celtic Festival, it was great to see so many outfits. So there were lots of green coats, a few shamrocks, green hats, a lot of tartan to be seen on all the dogs, as well as some of the owners.
Yeah, speaking of the owners, there was this absolutely gorgeous photo on our Facebook page as well, this elderly couple who had completely dressed up and completely in green, and he had a little suit on, she had a full dress on. It was just absolutely gorgeous. So you can check that out on our website.
It's like 19th century wear they were in, or costumes.
Yeah, but very St. Patrick's Day themed as well.
That's
That was brilliant. So
it was a great day. So and you know, people could have a sausage and a coffee before they went off on the walk, and afterwards we had obedience demonstrations, and we were really thankful for the great support that we had up there from people like Paul Jarman from the Star Hotel, who sponsored the pet show, Rose's Veterinary Practice, the Echuca Moama Veterinary Clinic, lots of great people. And I have to mention our shelter manager Kate Kemp was brilliant as always as MC.
And we've had her on the show a couple of times, so you can hear how brilliant she is. And don't forget, if you want to listen back to any of our shows, you can check out our podcast, which is on our Joy program page, joy.org.au. Also, check out more from the Lost Dogs Home and all our news at our website, which is dogshome.com.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Now, every week we do shine the spotlight on sometimes two, but this week we've only got one special pet up for adoption. Now, Kate, tell us a bit about Jimmy.
Jimmy is a Maltese cross. He's a sweet older dog. He's probably about 8 years old, we think. He's a really lovely dog, and as you know, older dogs are just a little bit quieter. He'll be happy to mooch around your house, probably share the couch with you, and if you're allowing, probably happy to sleep on your bed at night as well. But he's obviously young enough and active enough to enjoy a really good walk, and that would be important for him as well. He has one of those continuously growing coats like Maltese and poodles do. He does look like a bit of a poodle cross Maltese. So if you're going to take on Jimmy or adopt Jimmy, you'll have to commit to regular grooming, and that would include perhaps going and visiting a professional groomer as well. But he's a great little dog. I've got a dog, one of these at home, and they really are lovely family pets, very personable. So I highly recommend someone checking out Jimmy, and you can find him on our website at dogshome.com. His ID number is 818368, or you can call our shelter at North Melbourne to find out a bit more about Jimmy on 9329 2755.
And don't forget to check out our Facebook page, where there will be a picture of Jimmy up there as well.
It's got a bit of a snazzy overbite.
Underbite, isn't it?
Or underbite.
Underbite. What is it called if it's at the bottom?
Don't put me on the spot with that one because I can never get it right. Right,
okay. It's some sort of I'm showing my teeth right, and don't yes. I look pretty.
Yeah, it's a face that you can fall in love with, that's for sure.
That's right.
And there's nothing nicer than adopting an old dog. Oh, they are yeah. just so sweet and so easy, and they've got really quirky characters, and they still play, they're and they gentle. Do all things that... that a younger dog
lovely
does.
Lovely
so
souls.
Don't write them off. Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about the useful gadgets in pet technology.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
G'day, this is Mike Larkin, Weather Guy, Channel 10. Best thing about being the weather presenter, you can be wrong and still get paid. But more importantly, we love listening to Pets Allowed every Fridays from noon.
That was Mike Larkin. He is a big supporter of the home, and you can catch him every Friday with his Give a Dog a Home segment on the news as well, which is featuring one of our adorable, adoptable dogs. It's just one thing that technology has really helped us because, you know, without television, we wouldn't be able to have Give a Dog a Home.
No, not at all. And Mike does a yeah, great job promoting the dogs up for adoption. He's really great supporter.
He's a great supporter of the home. Now, did you know Australia has one of the highest rates of pet ownership per capita in the world? Now, it's estimated that 80% of Australians will have a pet at one stage or another in their life. So it's no surprise that a survey conducted recently by the World Society for the Protection of Animals, the WSPA, estimated that Australians would spend about $46.9 million on their pets on Valentine's Day. Alone. Just Valentine's
amazing.
Day.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable, really, isn't it?
Now, not surprisingly, the biggest spenders are dog owners, with approximately $23.3 million expected, or an average of $6.82 per dog, while cat owners were expected to spend about $7.9 million.
There's a huge range of products out there capitalizing on the market that we have in Australia, and I think pet owners actually demand them as well. There are quite a few products as well and innovations which have significantly improved pet care and safety.
So the top, of course, on that list is one of the most important advances in pet technology, and something that we are constantly going on about. It's something close and dear to our hearts as well, is the Humble microchip.
Yep. So microchips were introduced for pet identification around about the early 90s, and they're about the size of a grain of rice, and they just sit under the skin. We inject them under the skin. It's a really simple procedure. They're coated in silicone, so there isn't any reaction and they don't move around. In the early days, there were lots of different types and brands of chips, which had sort of different numbers, and they worked at different frequencies, and not all scanners read all chips, and they were on different databases. So that was all a bit complicated, but it's now been rectified and there's only one type of chip, and those chips are standardized worldwide. So the number on your animal's chip is the only chip with that number in the world.
Amazing.
That's probably why the microchip numbers are that long as well.
That's right, they're about 15. Well, they are 15 digits. Yeah.
And I think you can tell what country they come from.
Yeah, and you can, and perhaps also what brand, I think, too, as well, depending on what the number is. So
if you're an aficionado.
Yes, which
now,
I'm not.
Now, the microchips are all great and everything like that, but Kate, what's the most important thing?
Well, you know, it's we're technologically advanced with identification with microchips, but, you know, it still comes down to making sure your details are up to date. You know, there is room for human error as well. So, you know, great. I guess get that message out there. If you have your pet's microchip, please just remember to keep your details up to date, to ring the database that your microchip's registered with, to if you've moved or changed your phone number.
Now, I was just going to say, something that's not fully advanced yet is a GPS collar for your pets.
I know. I think that's actually quite a good thing because, you know, one of the things when your pets go missing, and I know I've had that personal feeling, you just don't know what direction to head off in to look for them. So to have a GPS would be amazing to say, oh, okay, he's over that direction. So there's a whole range of GPS devices out there, and we've looked at some of them at the National Pet Register, and probably something down the track that we'd like to do or offer. And while there's a long way to go in terms of the size of the device being, you know, a comfortable size to wear on the collar and being practical, it promises to be, you know, a really exciting opportunity to help locate lost dogs and cats more promptly and perhaps more accurately as well.
It's a lot coming out sort of overseas in America that will actually send a message to your mobile phone. Mm. So it'll let you know if your pet has come out of boundaries, sort of thing. So
yeah, and they say also perhaps, you know, tracking your pet's daily activities, you might get an idea of what their movements are during the day, especially if they're, you know, perhaps recovering from surgery and they're meant to be having cage rest or bed rest. They might have escaped, or maybe you've got a new toy, you want to see how successful it is. If there's a lot of activity around the yard, it probably is. So, you know, it's great technology.
Definitely one to watch out for in the future. Now, Kate did mention a very simple piece of technology a little while ago, which is the Humble Doggy Door. Now, you know, generally we all think of a doggy door as just a flap where the dog or cat can go in and out. Now, there is actually quite some advancements in doggy doors now. You can actually get a little sensor, an electronic doggy door. So a sensor on your dog or your cat, you put it on their collar. So it's kind of like a remote. When they walk through, it opens up for them, but it stops other animals from going in with them. So, you know, stray animals can't get through, or sort of a wild cat or anything like that can't get through that doggy door, which is really interesting.
Yeah, well, I think it's handy in terms of, you know, they can come in and eat their other pets' food, or particularly wild or feral cats can spray.
And, you know, and strange cats coming into a cat's home territory are going to make it very, very unhappy.
And fights and things like that it can stop from. It's also good for home security as well, because it means you don't have this doggy door.
Well, that's right. I think, like, I had a Labrador in the past. I would never put a doggy door in, because if my Labrador could get through it, then anyone could get through it.
My brother, we had a doggy door, and we only had Shih Tzu Cross Maltese.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're small dogs, but my brother could actually fit through our doggy door.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that if there's a will, there is a way. Now, finally, one that Alan mentioned as well, something that he uses is
the little LED lights and on collars, and you can get leads which have lights on as well.
You can actually get leads which have them inbuilt as well, and they run by batteries, so it just makes it so that you're more visible. You can get leads with reflector strips too, so that when cars go past, you can actually see those as well.
Yep. And it's just, you know, even if you're it's dark, even if you do trust your dog to come back, it's just nice to be able to see where it is.
Yeah.
He or she is.
Excellent. So that is some of the more useful pet gadgets. Right after this, we're going to look at some of the new and improved toys and games.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Richard from Can Do Paper Bag Co.
Can Do Paper Bag Co.
We print beautiful, gorgeous printed paper bags with your logo on them. Matte or gloss laminated, rope handles, 14 different sizes, from 250 printed paper bags with delivery in 15 days.
It's easy and it's all online.
Just go to candopaperbagco.com.au or call me now, Richard, on 0412 328 718.
Can Do Paper Bag Co.
Proudly sponsoring
Fickle
Joy.
World presents for your wonder and amusement direct from Broadway, Empire. This outrageous show smashes through the borders of comedy, circus and burlesque. Laugh out loud and gasp in awe. An unforgettable night in the Spiegel Tent, not to be missed. See Empire from March 14 for a limited season Melbourne CBD. Tickets on sale now through Ticketek.
Joy sponsor. Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You are on Pets Allowed, and all throughout the program today, we're looking at advances in pet technology. We do want to hear from you. Let us know, is there some kind of pet technology that you can't live without? You can SMS us 0427-JOY-949, email on air at joy.org.au, or give us a call 1300-JOY-949. Now, anyone who owns a pet will know there's no such thing as a simple game of fetch anymore. There are so many advances in technology. You know, you might some cats and dogs will like the simple things.
Tennis ball, you
tennis
know.
Ball, or a bunch of foil for a cat, or a bunch of piece of paper. But some will really enjoy something a little bit different. Now, one of the advancements that has come out recently is iPad games, or games for your tablet or smartphone. I don't understand how you can get a pet to use your smartphone.
No.
Quite small. But a tablet... I have a game for Cinder on there, and it's just basically a squirrel that runs around, and if she taps it, it makes a squeaky noise. She finds it interesting. She doesn't really play it. She just watches the squirrel run around on the screen. So I hear there's a bit more success in cats, though, because they seem to be more into that interactive thing.
Yeah, I've seen with the it becomes a pond, your iPad, and there's fish swimming around it, and the cats can pat at the fish, and it makes a sort of a rippling... has a rippling effect.
Interesting.
I suppose cats chase more than dogs, don't they?
Yes.
They're more hunters.
They do. Yeah. Now, Kate, something that you, or well, not you, your son uses in your home is a little bit of a laser.
A laser light. We have a laser light, which he loves to get out, and my cat Mav plays with that. He'll go for quite a long time chasing this laser light all over the room, and Sebastian puts it up the wall to make him jump up the wall. He loves it, so I can highly recommend a laser light.
And there are pet-safe ones that you can get from pet stores as well, so we wouldn't just recommend getting any laser light. And something that I do every day with Cinder is she actually loves a good game of fetch. So we go down to the park. Now, my shoulder can be a bit sore sometimes, so we take the chucker down, which makes it a lot easier. It's just a piece of plastic that has a thing for the ball in the end, and you can get that distance, you can get that extra throw, and it makes it so much easier. You don't have to bend down to pick up the ball either.
And for those people with really bad skills like me, throwing skills, the chucker would be fantastic. I can only throw underarm.
Yeah, I'm pretty feeble as well.
And the sort of new and improved version of a chucker is you can actually get these, devices is the way
it's
you would
like
say.
It's like a tennis ball machine.
A tennis ball machine for your dog. Mm. So it's got like a bucket where the dog comes and drops the ball in, and then it shoots that tennis ball off and they chase it, and you can set it for a timer and things like that as well, I believe. Yeah, I don't know why. It's a bit lazy. But
I can see if that was in my backyard, like the dogs would chase the balls, but I would pick the balls up and put them
You'd
back
have
in
to
the
put
bucket.
Them back in. Yeah.
They wouldn't be putting them back for
you. No. I mean, I reckon I could train Cinder to do it, but I think that's just me being lazy.
And also Cinder's so smart, you could train her to do anything.
Yeah, well, there is that as well. Now, Alan, something else that is good for, you know, when sort of pets are home alone or anything like that?
Smart balls or treat balls that you can put either food or treats into. And things, Kong's another sort of thing, which is a big rubber toy which they can chew on, and you can put peanut butter or, you know, anything chocolate in there.
Yeah.
Just that chocolate. They like it. Well, chocolate, no.
I was going to say, Alan, you're a vet and you're recommending chocolate. Peanut butter or Vegemite. Cinder likes Vegemite. Yeah, definitely not chocolate because chocolate is bad
for
dogs.
Meaty treats? Like meaty treats? What do you call it? What's the Devon?
Devon, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
just to keep them amused all day.
I use Kongs often with Cinder because, you know, she is usually in the backyard by herself. So we put in some of her treats. We put in some Devon. I actually freeze it. Oh. So I seal the top off with peanut butter and put it in the freezer so that it goes hard.
Yeah.
So that just gives her that extra challenge as well. So it's just fun. You know, she loves it. She spends hours trying to get the treats out of it. Mm. Sometimes she gives up and you find a Kong half filled with treats still. But, you know, that's what she wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, they're really good, those Kongs.
Yeah, and they work with cats as well, indoor cats.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and with cats, you can just get like a little small plastic drinks bottle and just cut some holes in it and put their dry food in there so they have to chase it around.
Oh, that's,
and it
that's
keeps
good.
Them occupied, exercises them, and keeps
I've
them
also
amused.
Seen Kongs with a rope, and they're good if you, because they actually float as well. Ah. So you can, if you've got a dog that likes swimming and you're in a safe place where they can swim, you can throw it in the water and they can bring it back.
Well, just speaking of capitalising on that sort of technology, with the bottles, there is actually, you can buy a thing called a tugger jug, which is a bottle with a rope inside on the top.
Oh.
And so they actually have to pull the rope to be able to get the treats out.
Oh, okay.
But it's got holes down the bottom so they can sniff at the treats, they can smell everything that's in there. And it's a multi-million dollar industry, this industry. But, you know, it's something that if we could capitalise, it would be great.
Yeah.
Now, we have actually heard from Colin, who let us know about a pet feeder that you can actually use with your iPhone.
Wow.
So you could send a message to this and help with feeding your dog if you're not there or if you accidentally overfeed them too much. It'll feed them a controlled portion as well. So thank you very much for that, Colin. We do want to hear more from you, so make sure you SMS 0427JOY949 and let us know what pet technology you can't possibly live without. Coming up, we're going to take a look at Mark from Technogazer's top 5 pet gadgets. Right now, it is No Mercy with Please Don't Go. You're on Pets Allowed with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Missed your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Welcome back to Pets Allowed. All throughout the program today, we are looking at the latest in useful and not so useful pet technology. You're here with Kevin, Kate, and Alan. And we are also, we had a bit, Alan. Go on, Kate, say it again.
No. Alan.
We love Alan. He's awesome. So we also heard from Mark from Technogaze, who is Joy's very own gadget guru. He's a proud owner of 2 tabbies, Trinity and Madison. He's whipped up his top 5 pet gadgets. Now, he's advised us that most of his top 5 is inspired by videos he's come across on the internet. I don't know, that just seemed like it needed some sort of the internet. Wow, this is very technologically advanced, as we were talking about all throughout today. The first one is an electric ball thrower. Now, this is something I discovered a little while ago, and I sent through around, you know, our office as well. There's a little Jack Russell that comes across. He places a tennis ball on this little contraption and it fires it off down the hallway and he runs off after it.
That would work in my house.
It would?
Yeah. Definitely.
Tennis balls wouldn't work in my house. They'd have to be a lot smaller than that.
Oh, because your dogs are quite small. Yeah.
But I don't know if they're into fetch.
Mine will, like I said, mine will chase them. Yeah, bringing back is a bit.
That's for you to do.
That's for me. It's a bit unreliable. And I think actually putting them somewhere specific.
You would have to put the ball on there. Yeah. Now, the second one that he's brought in his top five is something that I would not think is pet related at all, but it's a robotic vacuum. Now, there is a video on the internet of a cat riding a robotic vacuum, just happily sitting on top of it.
And I can imagine a cat doing that. It's very cat, you know, just chilling on the robotic vacuum cleaner because it can.
Yeah. Now, I used to have one of these and Cinder would watch it, like, intently. Like, what is this sheep thing or is it some kind of... Yeah, what do I do to it? And the problem was because they were touch-activated, she'd accidentally turn it on a lot.
Oh.
So she'd go up to it, put her nose up to it, it would turn on, and then she'd jump because it would make a noise and freak her out. And then it'd start moving. That made it even worse.
So she got reinforced that every time she...
did something. So she kept checking, what does this do? What exactly does this do? Now, another one is a litter cleaner RoboVac. Now, again, this is for the, you know, the lazy ones in us that don't really like cleaning the cat litter. Kate, Alan, is this something you guys would look at?
Well, I don't know. I kind of, this is, it's a bit weird. And I think it, with a lot of cats, it would put them off using the litter tray.
Yeah,
if
it kind of looks
robot
like
in there. Like, would you go to the bathroom if there was a robot in the bathroom?
Yeah, no. It kind of looks like a barrel.
And look, for me, it looks actually quite big. So yeah. I think you'd have to have this most enormous tray of kitty litter to fit it in. Because I can't imagine, like, my cat, it would get in the way of it.
And
using
it's sort
it.
Of self-cleaning and, look, it's interesting. Make sure, you know, if you're into
it,
check it out.
It looks a bit like Kenny.
It does look a little bit like Kenny from South. That's true. Yeah. Now, also, as we've talked about earlier, is iPad games or games for your tablet, which, you know, are really good for cats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dogs have them too, but cats are more interested. And the final and fifth TechnoGaze top five pet gadget is a desk chair for your cat.
Oh.
Now, this all apparently started because medievalist Emir Filipović found cat paw prints in a 15th century manuscript from Croatia. So a cat had been walking all over somebody's work. Or, you know, that kind of thing. Well, nowadays they usually walk all over your keyboard or they sit on it because it's warm or they might sit on your laptop.
If you're reading the newspaper, they'll sit right, you know, right on the bit that you're reading normally.
So you can actually get a desk chair. So attach it to your desk and the cat can sit there and hopefully not sit on everything that you're doing.
Yeah, but still a part of what you're doing.
What you're doing.
And close.
Yeah, look,
it looks
interesting.
Like a keyboard, sort of a keyboard tray or an in-tray. It looks like an in-tray, actually.
So where there's a problem, there will often be a piece of technology to try and solve it, it seems.
It just depends on how much of a problem it is.
That's right. I don't know if that's really an issue, but, you know, I often have... My mum actually says her dog usually sits on her keyboard. Ever since she was a puppy, she'd been sitting on the desk. And she's only a little dog, so she actually likes jumping up there and sitting in front of the keyboard.
And I guess, I think they... I suppose with cats, if you're riding, they like... playing with the end of the pen as well.
Yes.
So it's probably not just that they want to sit next to you and watch you work, it's they want to be involved.
Yeah, like a bit of activity.
I've often noticed Cinder doing that when I'm playing on the iPad. She often comes up and looks at it and it's like, what are you doing? I want to do it too. Very interesting. All right, after this we're going to look at some of the more quirkier and strange pet technology out there. That was Mark from TechnoGazers, top five. If you want to tune into TechnoGaze, it's every Saturday between 12 and 1 on Joy 94.9.
Have you ever needed help, advice, or just someone to talk to? Lifeline has trained counsellors who are there to listen 24/7. So the next time you need to reach out, call Lifeline on 13 11 14. To be heard is a wonderful thing.
To be heard is a wonderful thing.
Lifeline, 13 11 14.
Have you got your tickets for our big Women on Waves live celebration tomorrow? Joy's much-loved independent women's music show is celebrating 500 shows tomorrow night with a very special tribute concert for the show's presenter, Anita, with performances by Marie Wilson, Michelle Parsons, Jade Leonard, Karen Fields, Di Watson, Pippa Wilson and Nicolette Forte, with stand-up from Bobby McCumber. It's not to be missed. Come on, Melbourne, support this Joy fundraiser. Raise your hands for Anita's milestone and celebrate radio made for and by lesbians and gays of Melbourne. Tickets just $25 at the door, also, or $20 if you book on our new Joy website. Full details at joy.org.au.
For over 30 years, community radio has informed and entertained listeners right across Australia.
The future of community radio lies in our access to digital radio.
In the next budget, the federal government needs to commit funding to keep us broadcasting on digital radio. If we don't get the funding we need, community radio will lose its place in this country's digital future.
We need your voice in this fight. Visit committocommunityradio.org.au now.
Joy 94.9 is proud to support the Commit to Community Radio campaign.
Welcome back to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Today we are talking all things pets. It is a quarter to one, which means there's only 15 minutes left of Pets Allowed.
Oh no.
That's quite sad. Don't forget you can check out all our podcasts on joy.org.au. Just navigate to the Pets Allowed page. Program page. That's the word I was looking for. Now, let us know what is the one piece of technology that your pet could not live without. You can SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We've had a look at the useful products. We've looked at the things that help our lives. What about those kind of strange and quirky things that we're not quite sure about or whether what their place is? Now, Kate, your dog Peanut actually used to use a portable toilet before he came to your house.
He did, yeah. With his past owner, he spent a lot more time inside and they had a portable lawn for him. So it's like a piece of mod grass and over a box, they urinate on it and then the wee goes down to the bottom. Which is great for dogs because more and more dogs are living in apartments or small houses so they don't have access to outdoors, or you can put it onto your balcony. I can imagine it's highly popular in somewhere like New York.
Yes.
But Peanut sort of, he was a bit hit and miss. Sometimes he'd use it, sometimes he'd like the shag pile rug.
And, I mean, definitely speaking of America, there's a thing called a porch potty, which the premium version comes with a little sprinkler system, a fire hydrant that for them to aim at, and it can actually come with fresh grass or synthetic grass.
Well, that's good. So
that's just in case your dog prefers a feeling of fresh grass rather than synthetic or
under its paws.
Yeah, who really knows? Now, Alan, a lot of us might have seen Meet the Fockers. There's a cat in there that uses a toilet. Is this something that's common?
I don't know that it's common, but it's certainly something that you can do. You can get these, they're like liners, which you start off, you put the liner on top of the toilet, leave the seat open, and put some cat litter on there, and the cat jumps up and uses it. And then you get different liners with holes in the middle so that the wee or whatever actually drains into the toilet, and eventually the hole gets bigger and the liner gets smaller, and your cat learns to sort of jump up there and squat.
Very, very interesting. Now, for some of us, our dogs and cats are like our kids, and some people take that to the extreme with the pet stroller. Kate, tell us a little bit about pet strollers.
Well, the pet stroller is, I guess, like a pram, like a traditional pram, like one of those really groovy jogging ones as well, but with smaller wheels. And you can pop your dog in it and take it for a walk. So really good for older dogs.
Yeah, or, I guess so.
Yeah, or dogs recovering from surgery so that they still want to get out and feel like they're outside and smell different smells rather than being cooped up inside. Often I've heard it referred to as the booby-mobile.
Oh, okay.
Those people that sort of anthropomorphize their dogs. And I've seen actually one when I was in New York, a lovely older lady walking her Shih Tzu down.
In a pram.
Interesting.
Another thing is the pet peek. So it's for curious dogs who want to see what's on the other side of your fence. So either on your neighbor's side or your front lawn, you put a little sort of porthole in there and so your dog can see through. Now, just as Kate mentioned a bit earlier, just make sure your dog doesn't bark at everything because otherwise they'll sit there barking at through the pet peek and might get a bit annoying.
Yeah, probably. My dogs probably would, yeah.
And someone will complain and you'll get in trouble.
And someone will complain and you'll get in trouble.
It's very complicated, so.
But it looks like a good idea on...
It does, for the right place.
Yeah, for the right dog.
We just had a quick question from Daryl, which I don't know if it's entirely appropriate, but it says, hi, is the cat sitting on the robot vacuum like someone sitting on a washing machine? Don't think we should think about that one, should we? Anyway, we are going to hear from KT Tunstall now with Suddenly I See. That has been everything about pet technology, except we're going to talk a bit about the pet technology in the veterinary side of things right after this with our Q&A with Dr. Alan Bolton. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. You are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is time to hear from Dr. Alan Bolton with some information about pet technology in terms of the veterinary side of things.
Well, technical innovations have been huge in the vet industry in the last 20 years or so. And so I thought I'd just talk about two of them, really. The first one is imaging. I mean, 30 years ago, we relied pretty much only on x-rays. And 20 years ago, ultrasound was available, but it wasn't very advanced and it was really specialist. Whereas now it's commonplace. And added to that, we've now got CT and MRI. I mean, they're not in most clinics, but they're certainly in big referral clinics like Melbourne Uni. And so we're able to see much more deeply into organs and into bodies. And the fact that we can see things means that we can treat them much better. It allows us to, certainly with tumors, we can see exactly where they go so that we can plan how we can take them out cleanly and make sure they don't come back. The other thing that's arrived is joint replacements. Now, hips have been around for a long time, and we use those in large dogs who are prone to arthritis in their hips, and basically they get to the stage where their hips just don't work anymore, so we can put a metal and ceramic one in. But recently, within the last few years, elbow replacements have become available, and that's actually much more promising because elbow disease, elbow arthritis, tends to strike quite young. It's a congenital or a genetic disease in certain breeds, and these dogs can be crippled by the age of 1.5. But so then if you can put in a whole new elbow, they can have a whole new life.
Interesting. So there's plenty of advances. And if you want to check out some of those, make sure you come on down to the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic.
Not that we do elbow.
No, we do elbow.
But we can send you to someone who can.
Yeah, we do have the referral available, but we also have some interesting technology going on down there as well. Thank you very much for that, Alan. If you do have a question for Dr. Alan Bolton, send us a message or send us an email throughout the week on lostdogshome@joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
What would you call a weekly newspaper that informed, entertained, and interacted with its community?
Star Observer.
What about one that covers not just what's happening in its own backyard, but all across Australia and all around the world?
Star Observer.
At last, a national gay and lesbian weekly newspaper that provides a local voice for the country's gay and lesbian community.
Star Observer. One newspaper, one authoritative voice.
Featuring up-to-date local news, national topics of interest, and the most extensive global coverage of GLBTIQ issues.
Star Observer. On the streets around Australia every Friday morning. And a proud Joy sponsor.
Join us on the red carpet for the Australian premiere of Submerge, the seductive closing night film of Melbourne Queer Film Festival, Sunday, March 24 at Acme Cinemas.
Visit mqff.com.au or download the free smartphone app to buy tickets. Melbourne Queer Film Festival, always forward, never straight. Joy 94.9, proud radio partner.
La Trobe University Counselling Service Queer Programs, in conjunction with the Queer Department, the Ally Program, are celebrating Pride Week, March 26 to 28. Kicking off the festivities, Joy will be broadcasting live from La Trobe University at Bundoora on Tuesday, March 26 from 11 a.m. I want this time saved in a bottle. A three-day mini-festival, Pride Week aims to increase support, visibility and an inclusive health-promoting university environment with live performances, community stalls, a great debate and Channel 31 Vox Poppers. So catch all the fun of Pride Week Fair on Joy, March 26, 11 till 3, with special guests, fascinating topics, favourite Joy personalities and the Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus. Or head north to experience Joy live from La Trobe University at Bundoora. Joy sponsor.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
This is Dog Dates. It is going to be a very busy few weekends for National Pet Register. We're just going to go through these quickly because there are a couple of websites you can check out to find out more. So, Kate, Alan, actually, you start us off.
So, this Saturday, the 23rd of March, 2013, the City of Casey is having a companion animal microchipping day. 920 Thompson's Road, West Cranbourne. Go to petregister.com to book.
.au/events. Petregister.com.au/events. We will give that a bit later as well. Booking bookings do close today, though, so please make sure you check that out. Now, there was going to be an event at Nillumbik on the which is Greensboro, Sunday, 24th of March. That has been cancelled, so we suggest people get along to the Darebin City Council Companion Animal Microchipping Day on Saturday, the 6th of April in Preston.
Also, on Saturday, the 6th of April, we'll be at the Sunbury Rotary Club doing a Companion Animal Microchipping Day at the Neighbourhood House and Community Centre there. Microchipping between 9 and 2 p.m. for $25, and we'll give you the website
a bit later. And also Sunday, 7th of April, Kate.
Yes, sorry, just turning the page. Eastern Regional Pet Expo 2013, of course. Another Companion Animal Microchipping Day at Knox Park in Knoxfield.
If you can't make it all the way to Knoxfield, there will also be a fun day at Eltham Paws in the Park on the Sunday, the 7th of April. Now, I will actually be there because we are doing some demos with Melbourne Canine Freestyle. So there'll be some dog dancing happening on there. So make sure you do come and check that out. Now, the websites, you can check those out on all the National Pet Register events are at petregister.com.au/events, or just go to petregister.com.au. For any other events, you can check out the dog date section on That Dog Dancing Guy, which is my website, my personal blog about me, my dog dancing, that kind of stuff. There is a dog date section on there, and that is thatdogdancingguy.com.au. So check those out. Now, we will now mention our pet of the week again, little Jimmy.
Lovely Jimmy, a Maltese cross poodle. Lovely 8-year-old looking for a home.
And what is his ID number?
His ID number is 818-368.
Thank you very much for that. Now, you can find Jimmy on our website, which is dogshome.com, or give us a call at the shelter, 9329-2755. Next week is Good Friday.
Oh, wow.
So if you've missed out on some of the programs that we've had this block, we will be going and doing a bit of a best of, the best of the best, we should say. And I believe I'm doing that by myself.
Yeah, you're flying solo.
Because I'm the only one who's decided that, yes, I will actually come in on Good Friday and do the show. So it will be the Kevin show.
I'm sure it'll be fantastic. You'll do a great job.
We will find out, won't we? Remember, if you do have any questions for us at all, well, you're going to come
I'll
in.
I'll come in if you need.
We'll
need some company.
We'll see what happens. I might call you midway through the show and say, Kate, talk to me. So if you have any questions for Dr. Alan Bolton, please send us an email at lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Check out our program page at joy.org.au for all of our podcasts. You've been listening to Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home and Joy 95.9. Don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cat.
Thank you very much for listening.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.